call the 5:30 meeting to order. We do have a short bit of business to do in closed session, and then we'll come back into this room, hopefully by 6 o'clock for the remainder of our pre-council meeting. I would make a motion that the City Council of the City of Columbia immediately go into closed meeting in Conference Room 1A, 1B of the City Hall to discuss sealed bids and related documents until the bids are open, and sealed proposals and related documents for any documents related to a negotiated contract until a contract is executed, or all proposals that are rejected pursuant to Section 610.021, subsection 12, the revised statutes of Missouri, and the leasing, purchase, or sale of real estate by a public governmental body where public knowledge of the transaction might adversely affect the legal consideration therefore, pursuant to subsection 610.021-2, RSMO, is my motion. Is there a second?
A second.
Seconded by Mr. Trapp on the draw. Priest votes aye. Ms. Fowler?
Aye.
Mr. Trapp?
Yes.
I'll hold the board open for Mr. Scala. Mr. Thomas?
Yes.
Mr. Pitzer?
Yes.
Dr. Peters?
Yes.
By your vote of 6-0, we are in closed session. We will adjourn to the next room and then come back.
some hands.
I can't remember his name now.
It's on there.
I see it.
Okay.
I see it. Thank you.
Is mine on there?
No. You want to pull?
No, but I've got a public hearing for Holly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it deals with me in the main.
Oh, yeah.
say what, I'd give up a bidder. If we can build a ship. Well, I talked to Tom Mendenhall.
Thank you.
pre-council work session of the Columbia City Council. Our first subject matter, Mr. Glasscock, is strategic plan update.
Yes, I would like to introduce Carol Rhodes, who will give us an update on where we're at. We're about a year behind.
Why did that happen?
Why did he have to start me off that way? Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. I'm Carol Rhodes, and I serve as the Assistant City Manager. Tonight, we're going to go over the strategic plan update with three key objectives. And those objectives include reviewing changes to the city's mission, vision, and core values, reviewing the strategic planning process and next steps, and presenting the city's strategic priorities developed by staff. The city's vision statement, Columbia is the best place for everyone to live, work, learn, and play. There are no changes to the vision statement. The mission statement has been revised to include the word equitably, to serve the public equitably through democratic, transparent, and efficient government. And this revision, as you will recall, was discussed at the January retreat in which all council members, I believe, attended, including Ms. Fowler. Next, I'd like to go over the City of Columbia's core values. The core value statements are shown on the slide. The major difference here is that stewardship was deleted and combined with the revised integrity statement. And the revised integrity statement states, we are ethical, fair, and honest stewards of our community's resources. We've also added a new statement in regard to equity. Staff proposes changes that clarify intent, and as agreed to during our January 16th strategic planning retreat, incorporate the concept of equity. Equity states, we recognize the local government's role in our community's history of systemic oppression. We are committed to removing these barriers and rooting our priorities, decisions, and culture in the principles of diversity, inclusion, justice, and equal access to opportunity. And I'd just like to give credit to Carrie Utterbeck and the BIC team who developed the language for the new equity statement. City staff members from all levels of the organization have been working hard to create the priority areas that we believe are reflective of the community's needs and desires. This list represents those individuals on the strategic planning team and strategic priority team leads. I would like to recognize those individuals as several of them are with me tonight, and I want to thank them for their contributions to this process. So let's talk about first where we've been. As John mentioned, we are behind schedule. The path to developing the strategic plan was divided into phases, with phase one to begin the plan and started approximately 2 years ago in 2018. As you will recall, we were sidelined by two events, each delaying the process by nearly 6 months. Those two events include a change in city leadership and COVID in March. The past few months have been uniquely challenging as we navigate the unfolding coronavirus pandemic. In the spring of 2020, we were prepared to present a draft strategic plan to you when the pandemic hit. And due to the uncertainty and the urgent changes in our operating environment caused by the pandemic, no plan was submitted to council at that time. Instead, you granted our request to pause the planning process until the fall. This fall, the planning process was resumed with a couple of goals. Number one, evaluating the changes in the city's operating environment, assessing the implications of those changes, and reaching consensus on new strategic priorities to recommend to you. And these, I might point out, are all steps in the process where process improvements were made. So what has changed in our environment? When each of the strategic priority teams came together, we asked them to really think about the changes in the city's operating environment to understand how the changes might impact the strategic priority areas the city needed to identify. And these are some of the areas that continue to be emerging themes: public health, economy, financial, diversity, social equity, and leadership. And of course, we have the changes in the operating environment that were categorized in these six areas of economic uncertainty, racial injustice, political polarization, the COVID-19 pandemic, budget cuts, and an increased focus on health. And now we move into the strategic priorities. But first, I want to review the definition of a strategic priority, which is a broad overall priority or direction adopted by an organization to best achieve its mission. This next slide illustrates the progression of the strategic priority areas from the 2016 through 2019 plan to the new, what we're calling post-COVID strategic priority areas. As you will see, the proposed plan is organized into six priority areas and will guide the city's decision-making as we strive to provide the best possible services to the community. The proposed priorities include equity, inclusion, and social responsibility, safe and prepared community, modern infrastructure, organizational excellence, resilient and growing economy, and healthy neighborhoods. The plan will have various elements, including the six priority areas, outcome objectives, and action steps. And the priority areas are the overarching themes of the plan, which will have outcome objectives within each area that list the goals and measures to work toward. Each outcome objective has action steps, which are smaller goals that help to achieve the larger goals of the priority area. We're hoping to have fewer outcomes and objectives so we can make measurable, meaningful change in the priority areas that we've outlined. The first strategic priority is equity, inclusion, and social responsibility. The goal statement for equity, inclusion, and social responsibility reads, cultivate a safe and sustainable community focusing on equitable access, inclusive engagement, equal opportunity and treatment, leading with race. Organizational excellence goal statement, create and support an engaged workforce that delivers an efficient, innovative, transparent, and collaborative city government. Resilient and growing economy, promote a sustainable and diverse economy through policy development and support for entrepreneurship, innovation, and efficiency. Healthy neighborhoods, enhance the quality of life in Columbia neighborhoods through affordable housing services and amenities such as transportation, recreation, and utilities available in all parts of the city. Modern infrastructure, provide reliable, sustainable, and innovative organizational and infrastructure foundations for the efficient delivery of municipal services to meet the current and future needs of our residents and visitors. Safe and prepared community. This is a long one, so bear with me. Equitably provide emergency services, crime and fire prevention, community risk reduction, emergency preparedness, public health and well-being, community policing, and social services to ensure the city is considered safe for all residents and visitors while increasing public trust through accountable leadership. For those, after several meetings and conversations back and forth with the strategic plan team, are the six strategic priority areas that we are proposing tonight. This slide illustrates the proposed revised planning process I'll point out the December-January 2021, this is an aggressive timeline to present the city's strategic plan to council with the outcomes and objectives. I will point out that we have been working closely with the finance department, Kyle and his team, and the budget office to align this plan with the budget process. And this is a key process improvement from previous planning processes wherein we didn't have a budget, a strategic plan that aligned with the budget. We want more than words on a piece of paper. We want something that is meaningful to our citizens. Tonight, staff is seeking council approval to move forward in developing the outcomes and objectives that align with the six strategic priorities that I mentioned and return to you early next year with a plan that includes the outcomes and objectives.
Are you finished?
And that's my last slide.
Any questions for Ms. Rhodes?
Definite enough that we can.
Okay.
Particularly on some things that we've been talking about for years, like a four.
Thank you.
Yeah, just kind of a comment. Just in retrospect, looking back, I mean, this has been a long road for the strategic plan, all the way from the original strategic plan for 3 years and so on, which was a tremendous effort, I thought, by the staff and the city council and the leadership in this community, city manager and so on. To get that established, and then we were engaged in a very aggressive effort to update this, and I was very encouraged by some of the early meetings when in particular the staff was engaged to really participate on a significant level. And I think the result of that was to wind up with language that made a lot of sense here. We still had this still initial ideas of the strategic plan, but it was modified to the extent that it made sense to folks, and the language made it. And I think language makes a big difference in what the strategic plan is all about. I just want to focus a little bit about and I have no particular objections to any of this. I think that broadening of the definitions and so on and moving ahead is a very laudable goal, and I think a lot of you folks have put in a tremendous amount of effort doing this, including the staff. And then we got interrupted by COVID and so on and so forth. So we've kind of. But in particular, this new post-COVID onset equity, inclusion, and social responsibility. I mean, it's been in the news recently, and I know the mayor was on the radio even today talking about some of the issue of some of the newspaper articles about our attempts at inclusion and equity, and particularly racial equity and so on. And I think there was some comments about there being a rather harsh newspaper article. I agree with that. I think it was rather harsh because I think a lot of people have been working very hard to try and accomplish something here. I guess I just want to register my disappointment a little bit. I mean, I think DeCarlin Seawood and his appointment as the deputy city manager was a good appointment, was a great appointment, and I think his attempt at bringing some of these folks together for a very difficult conversation was a genuine attempt in a very difficult enterprise. I'm a little disappointed that that, frankly, that we kind of bypassed some of the $75,000 that we had set aside over 2 years to take a look at the social equity lens at our ordinances. And we kind of put that on hold, and there were some other plans in the works to try and advance those goals. I think there are lots of folks out there and lots of resources, not the least of which is the National League of Cities and some of those groups to help us with some of those goals. And God knows there's a lot of local talent that has tried to advance these goals as well. I'm a little disappointed that everything was kind of put on hold because of COVID. I understand it, but I was a little bit disappointed. I'm not sure where that $75,000 is, and I would like to apply that to the budget, to the extent that we can get some help from some folks to maybe correct some of the misunderstanding that has led to some of the issues that we have with respect to the groups that have gotten together to try and discuss this issue. Anyway, that's from my perspective, that's the biggest disappointment that I've had so far in this whole rollout of the strategic plan. I agree that I think the addition of that equity, inclusion, and social responsibility is a key piece, and I think we ought to focus on, along with all the rest of it, but we ought to focus on that issue in terms of how we resolve some of the real issues that we're dealing with in the midst of this pandemic, among other things. But I appreciate your work.
Any further discussion? Mr. Pitzer.
Yeah, I just have a comment. And first, thanks for all your work on this, and I know it's very challenging to try to develop a strategic plan in the midst of some huge changes and upheaval. If you could go back to slide 13 on the strategic priorities just for a second, and because I was kind of thinking about this, and I agree that language is very important, and having clear, concise priorities really conveys what we're trying to do. And if you look at on the left hand side, you've got a list of five items that are very clear and concise. Then we started in the middle, we added a couple of modifiers, and you can just see graphically, as you go over to the right, we've added, more modifiers. And I think, maybe a couple of those you may be able to refine them just so we are clear about what exactly we're talking about. Like safe and prepared community. I looked at that and I understand safe, but then you say prepared and it's, well, prepared for what? And even the description that you had on the later slide, it was more about a safe community, not so much what are we prepared for and how are we preparing. Modern infrastructure, organizational excellence. I like that phrasing, organizational excellence, because it ties back to some of the things that we talked about. We've talked about the Baldrige process, and that I think ties clearly to that. But even like healthy neighborhoods, and I think we all, everybody wants a healthy neighborhood, but I'm not sure that there would be agreement on what a healthy neighborhood is or how you get there, or you had a thriving community in the middle column, and to me, a thriving neighborhood or a thriving community kind of conveys that message a little bit more clearly. So I don't know if you guys had those types of discussions, but that would be my feedback on the priorities.
Thank you,
Mr. Trapp.
Echo the appreciation for the hard work and under difficult circumstances. It's hard to implement six strategic priority areas. Something that I've said about strategic planning is you can have one priority, two priorities, three priorities, or zero priorities, and all numbers greater than three equals zero. So I think hard to know. I mean, I get the desire to add, but less is more in strategic planning. I'm not sure that we can communicate and implement six priorities, if we can find some way to scaffold those or have shared objectives that meet multiple. I don't want to get into the weeds or wordsmith, but I think we would be more effective with greater focus, either scaffolding them under each other of something that supports multiple priority areas, or tiering them, you know, so we have our first tier and then second tier. But I worry that we've got too much there to keep focus on. But I appreciate
it. Look at that.
I would tend to agree with Mr. Pitzer and Trapp as well. It seems like we could tighten those up. And, you know, we have, as a council, I think, been very deliberate in our intersectionality. So things that we can do to maybe collapse those into fewer priorities that mean more things without the description getting longer, I think would be a good idea. I liked the new pre-COVID ones that came out of our council work session with staff. I thought that was effective. I liked that it was easy to say that that we use the appropriate adjectives there. And I guess I'd rather get back to something like that rather than the post-COVID ones that we see. You also asked if we're comfortable. Do you want to go back to the mission statement and the? You also asked if council was comfortable with our mission, our core values and mission statement. Anybody have any changes or suggestions there? And again, thank you for all your work and the team that I know you had a lot of cross-sectionality with other departments and all levels of employees in the city working on this, and I think the results show that. Anybody else? Okay, thank you very much.
Like me to
you can do it from there, but would you use your microphone so that those that are listening online can
sure
thank you.
Thank you, particularly the mayor and city manager for allowing and making sure this time was available on the work session to go over this. So when we began, who's going to click for me? Can somebody
click?
Can you? Oh, you could give me the clicker. That'd be awesome. Okay, thank you. All right, hopefully the signal will work. So when we made staff made a presentation where they wanted to have the Climate and Environment Committee work with other boards and commissions on some initiatives, it occurred to me that we were in new territory from what I understood. I'm an alum of many boards and commissions, as you all, several of you were before you joined council. And because I most recently have been a member of a boards or commissions, I felt compelled to bring this forward. So not only do we have some new practices and things that take them out of the way in which boards and commissions have operated, but we also have the differing circumstances of the pressure of climate change and our need to move forward on that, even though we're in a COVID situation where we have to maintain our distance and we're less effective at coming together. So I wanted to bring this to you and ask for some more guidance to be given to the boards and commissions that are veering into new territory. And then, of course, I was one of the people who, oops, what's going on there? Point up there?
I don't know.
Point there. Oh, there we go. So we'll skip over that part. So we've requested collaboration in a different way. We have the Climate and Environment Commission reaching out to BikePed and a few others initially. We have underway the Integrated Electric Resource and Master Plan Task Force that's undertaking to work with a consultant. We're going to empower in the next city council meeting another group to do that, to work with a consultant. And then we tasked the Finance Advisory and Audit Committee with coming up with some recommendations regarding revenue, which I enthusiastically supported, only to go to their next meeting and realize that we really had not provided them with a lot of guidance on how to move forward with that. And so
I wanted to bring this back to us so we might be able to clarify for our citizen volunteers exactly what it would look like to us, what our deliverables would look like. So there's lots of ways to talk about deliverables, and you know, we used to talk about who, what, where, when, and how, but in this instance, when they're going to bring us back something, have we been clear enough with them about what we are looking for that we can find useful, that we can implement after their careful work, whether it's specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound? You know, the idea that we have a commission, a task force, a committee, and a study group, they sound like different things. Perhaps they're different in how they sunset and how they come together, or maybe they have a lot in common with our existing boards and commissions, but they sound like very different things, and so I wanted us to recognize that as well. So we've referred responsibilities to new and existing bodies. Have we given them enough guidance as to what we expect of them, particularly where we have the study group that's going to be formed and the integrated electric task force that's working on the master plan? Of how much preparation do we expect? What do we want them to look at so what they bring back to us is something that we can utilize, we can implement? What kind of public engagement process are we asking them to undertake? We make reference to that, but we didn't provide much more guidance to that. What kind of deliberative processes do we want them to have, and what will that deliverable look like? And so in this instance, you have the capable staff, you have Barbara Buffalo leading this effort of bringing in other commissions and boards that she is comfortable working with and has some experience with. And so what is it that we want them to do in implementing the climate action plan? Do we want them just to pick out good ideas and bring them back? Do we want them to bring back ordinances that we can then vote to implement or amend? Are we looking for you know, this could happen versus this shall happen, those kinds of things that we can, with definiteness, so we can move forward. And we have some tasks that were assigned to the Integrated Electric Resource and Master Plan. They are to look into the rate-setting process associated with the preparation of an updated master plan and report those findings and recommendations to the council. So they're going to do a planning and rate-setting process. Well, that sounds like some pretty deliberative work, and what's our expectation that we're going to do with that when they bring it back so that they feel that their time was well spent and that their work and their deliberative work has meaning, not only to them but to us. They have already, Jay is here, who is a member of that, and they've already moved forward. They did have input into the RFP. They did have some input at the time of the selection of the consultant. They have done something which I think is quite innovative and appropriate, which is they've designated a member to participate in the communications that go back between staff and the consultant, however whatever that looks like in our COVID environment, so that they have someone who's the eyes and ears that can bring it back to their group meetings and talk about what's happened and what's going on and know when to bring to the group's attention certain things. And what do their regular group discussions look like? Who should they bring into it? What's the content of their resulting reports? Do they have enough information to work on that in a way that brings back a product that that meets our expectations and then moves forward? So then I went to the last Finance Advisory and Audit Committee, and I was as enthusiastic as everyone about turning over to them this new assignment, only to listen to them and realize that we hadn't given them some particular things, including how would they go about bringing in stakeholders and what would that look like and how quickly should that be done. So what are we asking them to do? Are we asking them to identify revenue offsets for something that we anticipate as shortfalls? And we had a report today from finance where we're not clear yet where our shortfalls are. Are we expecting them to identify a determinate amount of money for an existing purpose or a determinate or indeterminate amount of money for a new purpose? That might be really helpful to them. And they do have another meeting coming up a week from today. I don't know how quickly we could provide them with that information, but it seems like that is a pressing task given that we've asked them to move forward on that. Are we asking them only to look at a use tax from the presentation that Mr. Liu made a meeting or two ago? Are we asking them to look at all the other ways in which other communities in the country may do that, whether that's a property tax or a use tax or additional fees or an impact fee? Do we want to give them the ability to do more than just look at how a use tax might be put together and under what circumstances. And we have the group impact study group that we're going to appoint in the, I think, in the next meeting. And here we're asking them to participate in establishing an analytical model for Columbia. And that sounds like very particular work. And do we need to give them some more guidance so that that is not only a good use of their time, but also that they bring back a deliverable that we can work with? They can model some of what they're doing off of what the Integrated Electric Task Force and Master Plan Group is doing about how to have input into various parts of this. Maybe some of this has already happened, but are we giving them enough information to do their work well? And then how do we measure satisfaction with the outcome from their perspective, from our perspective? We have, I noted that the city manager recently sent us the results of a city satisfaction survey for employees. And I know we've done that for residents. Have we done one? I don't know from my own personal experience. Have we done one for members of boards and commissions? Have we asked them what did they find the most meaningful about how they went about their work? What did they not find helpful? And how could we help them have a more satisfactory experience in working with us as our eyes and ears? And then is there, I'm sure that you all have other things to suggest to this topic, but I'm bringing it forward first because of this collaboration, but then I realized that we really have a more pressing response that we could make to the Finance Advisory and Audit Committee. Might be another slide here. How will we measure their success? So my hope is that we have a conversation about those very things.
Are you suggesting that maybe council do a better job on the front end when we create, and I think you've picked four good ones here and four recent examples, mm-hmm. that we need to do a better job on the front end describing beyond just the enabling ordinance that has their powers and duties, what we're looking for and what, or do you want to give that chair and that group the autonomy to tell us what they think they want?
I think it's a combination of both, Mayor. I remember as the chair of a board or commission, the chair and the vice chair in our commission, we outlined a plan for how we were going to move forward with something, only to be told that we had to go back to council and have that approved by you. And so then I had to stand at the podium and we lost a month or a month and a half or whatever. So I think somewhere in the middle, we need to find a way where they, the boards and commissions have more ready access to us and we have more ready access to them. I do appreciate that they provide reports periodically, but I don't recall that we have a regular or routinized way in which we communicate with them.
Right.
How do we advise them if they get stuck? Who do they come to? And would that mean that we should have a member of council assigned to be that liaison for them that can help them get unstuck when they're stuck on their processes? But it seems that because there are eyes and ears, we could benefit from more interaction.
Mr. Scala, you're an alumni.
I have lots of opinions about this issue. This goes back a long way, probably 20 years of public service or so, starting off with the dysfunction of the Environment Energy Commission, which is no longer in existence. But these boards and commissions have come a long way. And I've always looked at boards and commissions as another avenue of information for the city council, a very valuable avenue of information, in addition to the city manager and the city staff who provide the professional research arm and also the professional input as to what their opinion is. I've always thought that the city manager and the city staff ought to offer their opinion very strenuously and then get out of the way, and that we also ought to pay attention to the boards and commissions in terms of what the citizens want to, because they are citizen boards and commissions after all, and that's how we populate them. I've also always thought that it's really a function of leadership, that the guidance is kind of that's a tricky business. I mean, the extent to which we provide guidance might limit their ability to offer advice. Leadership in some of these roles means to me that certainly they have to answer the questions that the city council refers to them. I mean, that's an obligation, that's what they're there for. That's part of the mission of that. But also, I think they have the ability to do whatever it is that they think is reasonable to offer recommendation to the city council that they think is in the best interest of the community in general, just like we do. I mean, as a city council. So I'm a little reluctant to be, I don't know, this guidance thing is a little, to me is a little, it makes me a little bit nervous about how much guidance to offer in terms of specific answers to questions that we have. They have to answer those questions, but I think they ought to be able to offer any advice that they think is useful that's in the interest of the community. So I, and that goes with respect to the finance committee or any other committee, whether it's environment, energy, or now it's a different beast. But there is also a tiered system here because we have some boards and commissions that have independent authority, that is the planning and zoning and the board of adjustment and so on and so forth. So they have additional responsibilities. I just think that we're going down a road that's a little questionable in my mind to give them guidance specifically as to what it is that we're looking for. I would rather open this up broadly and let them lead in terms of whatever advice that they want to offer the city council, in addition to just answering specific questions that we may refer to them.
Additional comments? Mr. Pitzer?
So I think we need to be clear about what we ask them, though. I mean, yeah, they can have discretion on how they go about doing it, but if we're not clear on what we're asking, then that's going to be a problem. And I think that's what you're getting at here, specifically talking about the Finance Committee. And I agree that it wasn't clear in my mind on that specific example. We were looking at, you know, potential revenue projections over the next couple of years, and I thought we were talking about whether or not expectations for city services match, you know, potential revenue projections over the next few years, and if not, you know, what are some ideas or suggestions to do about it. So that's what I thought the question was, but I agree that it wasn't clear. So that's on that point. I have a couple other points on this subject. One is that, you know, we do get sort of inconsistent feedback from the different boards and commissions, and that's been a little bit of a frustration for me, in that I know that there is a lot of work that's being done by a lot of people, and we're getting kind of a snippet of it being sent back to us or being reported back to us. Now, I don't know how to fix that, because I don't want, you know, 10 reports every council meeting, because then we're just going to get lost and we're going to drown in that. But there's got to be a better way to know what's going on, to get input on the matters that they discuss before we discuss them. I mean, there have been things that have been talked about, for example, in Water and Light, and that issue comes to us, and, you know, I'm not even I'm going back searching through 6 months of minutes trying to find out what they talked about on that issue, and that doesn't seem like a good way to do it either. And then another point is that we sometimes ask them, so let's go back to the Finance Committee. We've asked them to do something. They don't have all the information or access to all the information that they need to do that job quickly or efficiently. So what do? They go and ask the finance department, hey, do you have, what's this information, you know, what's XYZ? And then the finance department says, well, you know, we're buried under 6,000 other things. We don't report to you. You report to council. Council can tell the city manager what to do, but we can't tell anybody else what to do. And now you've got this disconnect where the commission that we've asked to do something, they're expecting some more feedback or more information from staff, and it's not a priority for them, and we don't have the ability to direct, you know, staff to do that, and then everybody gets frustrated. 6 months go by, nothing happens, and then we say, well, where's that report? And we've got nothing. So so that's another tension point in this whole thing that I think has led to, you know, me thinking that we're not getting the productivity, or we're not seeing all the productivity that, that should be there.
I can tell you as a former chair, I recall maybe around the budget time, and I don't think I've done it in, certainly haven't done it in the last 6 years, it may have been 10 years ago, it seemed like I filled out a questionnaire on behalf of Historic Preservation Commission that went to council as to, here's our activities, are there any changes you would like to make? Do you need any? I'll look for that, because I think, and I think the chair would be the appropriate person to do that, assuming they're elected by their peers to be there and would be able to balance out the sometimes dynamic nature of certain boards and commissions and give council some feedback as to, hey, what do you need to be successful? What would you like to see different from council? Or I'll dig that up and look at it. And to Mr. Pitzer's point, I pulled up the Finance Advisory and Audit Committee's existing ordinance, and it's clear. I mean, it, the committee shall make recommendations on financial matters to the City Council as needed. And they may consider the following areas: accounting and financial reporting policies, debt management policies, cash investment policies, purchasing policies. I mean, was I too aggressive as a commission chair? Probably. Did I follow the ordinance and max out the authority that was there? Yeah. And I think it's almost self-initiating on the part of those boards and commissions to take a look at their enabling authority and ask the questions we want them to ask. And if we're not asking them to do it, they can certainly take it on their own to do it. Of course.
I'm intrigued by this idea of a questionnaire, because if we had such a format that a chair and vice chair could collaborate on whenever they felt like they were at a place where they were stuck. Because while I don't want to control the work that they do, I think it's our responsibility to take the obstacles out of their path. And so if they have a way to regularly communicate with us that we're having an obstacle, and they pass that through to us, then we can make a decision as a board. Do we need to have a work session with them? You know, how can we best meet their needs for clarification and or assistance so that they feel like they're part of the team and not out there on their own? And that's a very intriguing idea to me. And if you find that questionnaire, I would love to take a look at it and make some suggestions.
My sense is it came around budget time. And,
okay.
You know, and I think, again, from our perspective, from staff's perspective, you know, we may be volunteers, but these board and commission members are really volunteer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I've always told them, you know, I try to go to at least one board and commission meeting every year and just kind of sit in and see how they're doing. But, you know, I tell each of them, I hope at the end of your term, you can look, you've dedicated, you know, 2 hours a month, every month for the last 12 months. I hope at the end of that year and the end of your term, you can look back and be proud of something that you've accomplished and that it hasn't been a waste of time. And I think we need to, you know, we kind of need to go into it with that attitude of, you know, we can't go to every meeting, we can't be experts on everything, and there are a lot of issues that come from those boards and commissions that we deal with here. And just make sure anyone else talks first. Mr. Trapp.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I haven't chaired a commission, but I did co-chair a task force, and we looked, the task force, because I had helped write the, I was not that invested in what came from council, but the board, you know, took it upon themselves to want to look at those, and so I think that's common, you know, I think, you know, the process basically works. When it's worked well, you know, there's generally one or two of us that generate some council action, and when boards get stuck, going to those council members or the mayor who instituted those reports. I know I worked very closely with the Substance Abuse Advisory Commission on pawn shop reform legislation and helped over, and then some other issues because that falls into my expertise. So I think staff should hear the direction that we want these open forms of communication. We want boards and commissions to reach out through staff or through their staff liaison to see if they can, sometimes when they need direction from council, it'd be helpful for us to give that in a prompt way. And I think generally there's a voice behind what gets put in front of a person, and that's a good person to check in with. And ultimately, they're advisory bodies for the most part, except for when they're doing their own board of adjustment and planning and zoning, which are independent of our influence beyond appointment. But absent that, everything that they do is going to come back in front of all of us. So I think you know, whoever is kind of driving that. So if, you know, the mayor for the Finance and Advisory Commission, if they need direction on the scope of that project, that would be appropriate, because I think that was the genesis for them to look at that, came from him. So I think that's the message that we should send to staff. I'm not sure that, I mean, I'm not having a follow-up process. If we've had that in the past, I'm not against that. But overall, I think it works pretty well.
Dr. Peters.
I have just, a couple of questions. One is, I'm the liaison to the Youth Advisory Commission, but I don't think we have any other, do we have any other liaisons from the City Council to any of our other commissions?
The Community Land Trust Board.
Land Trust has a more formal, yeah.
And then that's it?
Do you think it would be, I mean, I also think sometimes the attendance of a council person and sometimes stifles or changes the nature of the discussion. And I also don't want certain council members, I mean, I think there's value, like I go to a water and light advisory committee meeting every now and then because I'm interested in something that's going to come to us, and I kind of want the extra discussion to kind of help inform my opinion. Don't know that it's always, I don't know if that's necessarily fair to the process. I don't think it's a problem. But I'm wondering if it wouldn't be helpful to have a council person at least be assigned as, hey, this is your point of reference. If there are issues, if you're encountering barriers or if you have questions, I mean, if that could be a good thing.
Good. And then my other thought is pretty much what Matt said and that what you also said, Mayor, is that it'd be nice to get some kind of report from all of these commissions, even if the report is we had no reason we needed to meet this year because we didn't have any issues. It'd be nice to have some way to a little bit better communication.
Let's do that through the budget process. Yeah. I mean, because Madam Clerk, each board and commission gets kind of a proposed budget document, right, that they have to ask if there are any additional expenditures or realigning anything, correct?
I send something to the staff liaisons and they work with the boards and commissions. And I have, I think, the past questionnaires that were done years ago. I think the focus of them was, hey, this, look at what you do. Do you think there's needs to be any changes, things like that? So you may want to change the focus or add to the focus. That I have those old surveys.
Okay. So I think that would be an appropriate time to look to ask some of those questions too. And that way it's not an affirmative act. I don't want them to spend all their meetings preparing an annual report. I'd rather have the chair and or vice chair go back through and say, you know, here's five things we accomplished, and here's some additional enabling authority we would like to have, or, you know, we would have liked to have done a public input session but didn't feel like that was in our purview. Is it? You know, that type of thing. And we do need to do a hard break between now and our 7 o'clock meeting and then.
Mayor, I would like to see that with Council Scrum. I'd like to see that questionnaire. And
quite a few years to realize that the budget process starts in February. Because I often didn't know about it until August. And then I'm like, oops, we've already missed the boat. So if I could see that questionnaire and then bring back to council some suggestions for that, I would appreciate the opportunity to do that.
Mr. Scala, final word.
All right. Believe it or not, there are some the boards and commissions that are that there is a requirement in their mission statement to provide a report, and lots of them do. And some of these folks take the initiative in terms of leadership and produce some pretty remarkable information to the city council. The rate limiting factor on some of the boards and commissions, if they want to take the initiative to help the city council out, has to do with staff support, and staff support costs something. I mean, this is a function of, and the more influential the board and commission is, and the more likely the staff is liable to be involved in it because it affects the city council a great deal. So that's kind of how this whole thing works out. But that's the thing that we can decide about in terms of being able to supply some of these folks with staff support so they can get some research information or some information to be able to continue their work. But I'm a little reluctant to stipulate what they ought to produce. I mean, I'm more likely to say, yes, you ought to answer our questions, but you ought to take it from there. You are our eyes and ears on the ground from the citizen's perspective. And if you need some help, then you ought to ask the city council for it, and we ought to try and provide it.
We've got 3 minutes before the next meeting. I'll adjourn the pre-council meeting. We'll be back in this room at 7 o'clock.
Take the time.